Welcome back to our series on Jeremiah and the Faithful Remnant. This series is being sponsored by the Christadelphian Video Service, and there are some documents which you might want to upload which are available on our website in relation to these studies. We're going to talk tonight about Zedekiah the Twilight Prince, which is a title which the scriptures put upon the last king of Judah, King Zedekiah. This was Jeremiah's last king that he had to deal with, and he was in some ways better than Jehoiakim, but in other ways more disappointing, because the thing about Zedekiah is he had a love of the word of God, but he just couldn't bring himself to do it. He was the youngest son of his ally in the attempt to reform the nation, King Josiah. And King Josiah had four sons, and this was the youngest of those sons who came to the throne after the captivity of Jehoiachin. And he was to last for 11 years. And the last 2 years of his reign were in the time of the siege. So here are the last five kings of Judah from King Josiah, who reigned 31 years. You had Jehoahaz, who only reigned 3 months and was taken prisoner to Egypt by Pharaoh. He was replaced by Jehoiakim, who reigned for 11 years. And he was perhaps almost the worst of all the kings, because his policy was he wouldn't hear the word of God. He burnt the scroll of Jeremiah. He persecuted the prophets. He was a terribly proud, arrogant individual. He was replaced by his uncle Zedekiah, who reigned for 11 years. He was replaced by his son Jehoiachin. And Jehoiachin was taken away after 3 months and taken prisoner to Babylon. And their uncle, Zedekiah, reigned for the last 11 years. So this is the last five kings of Judah that we're dealing with, and we're going to focus upon Zedekiah in this particular talk. The prophet Ezekiel was contemporary with Jeremiah. We need to just realize that there was commentary being given to the Jews in Babylon about events that were happening back in the land of Israel and in Jerusalem. And it was done by a number of visions, parables, and mimes that were done by the prophet Ezekiel. And when they inquired, then Ezekiel was given permission on some occasions to explain exactly what that meant. And there was a particular parable that was given in relation to the capture of Jehoiachin and the elevation of Zedekiah and what he would do with the power that he then gained. I want to just take you through this, because this is the divine commentary from the Babylonian perspective given by God on the reign of Zedekiah. So when we go to Ezekiel 17, we find that there is a parable. Son of man, put forth a riddle and speak a parable to the house of Israel. So here's an Old Testament parable. It's about two eagles and a vine. And so God says there was a great eagle with great wings, long wing, full of feathers, had diverse colors, and came out of Lebanon and took the highest branch of the cedar. And when we read about coming unto Lebanon, this Lebanon here is not just the territory of Tyre and Sidon that we know as Lebanon, but this was particularly a reference to the house of cedar that had been built by Jehoiakim, and it became the summer palace of the kings. It was completely lined with Lebanese cedar, and so it became known as the House of Lebanon. And this was a particular reference to that house that had been built by these kings. So when it says he came to Lebanon, yes, he went through the area of Tyre and Sidon, but he came and he plucked the kings of Israel. So here's an eagle that comes and actually strips the top off a tree, which, of course, the tree being the house of the kingdom of David. So along comes this eagle. He plucked off the topmost of his young twigs and brought it to a land of merchants. So here is the taking away of Jehoiachin and all the tradesmen, the silversmiths, the capable people of the land, that were taken away to Babylon by the king in the 11th year of Jehoiakim. He put Jehoiakim to a very cruel and horrible death and took away his son Jehoiachin, who reigned for 3 months, and took him to Babylon as security for the goodwill of Zedekiah. And we're going to see that comes out through this chapter. This was a Babylonian policy to take one of your relatives to make sure that you did what you were told and that you paid your tribute. So this is the great eagle of Babylon coming to pluck up the top twigs of the tree of the house of David and to take them away into Babylon. So So here's what it says. He cropped off the top of his young twigs, which is Jehoiakim, and the best people of the land, carried it to a land of traffic, and set it in a city of merchants. He took also the seed of the land, and these were the good figs that Jeremiah had prophesied would go to Babylon, that they might lay down the basis for the restoration. He planted in a fruitful field. He placed it by great waters, which, of course, was the rivers of Babylon. They sat down and set it as a willow tree. And that immediately should ring bells for any Christadelphian to Psalm 137, where by the rivers of Babylon we sat down and we wept. There we wept and hanged our harps upon the willow tree. So the willow tree is a symbol of the mourning of those who were in Babylon. So here is a very direct, connected prophecy about the eagle coming to take the best of the land, the top of the tree. And over in Babylon, it says it grew, which is the tree, the seed that's been taken, became a spreading vine of low stature. So there were the Jews in Babylon. They kept their identity. They kept their religion. And they obeyed the king of Babylon. So they were under tribute. So this was God's description of how the Jews were now subject and put under tribute to Babylon. So Zedekiah was made to swear his loyalty. When you come to Ezekiel chapter 17, let's just pick up the record there and see what it says about his determination that he was to be loyal. So come to Ezekiel chapter 17, verse 11 and 12. Moreover, the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Say now to the rebellious house, Know ye not what these things mean? Tell them, Behold, the king of Babylon has come to Jerusalem, has taken the king thereof, which is Jehoiachin, and the princes thereof, so the best of the land. This is the top of the tree, and led them to Babylon, and may have taken of the king's seed in verse 13, Jehoiachin, and made a covenant with him, taken an oath of him. He's also taken the mighty of the land. So you can see that this was a deliberate policy to make sure that kings obeyed and paid their tribute, was to have their relatives held in custody in Babylon. And that's why Jehoiachin was taken away. So this prophecy from Babylon is explaining God's view of the situation in the land. And the message was very clear. It says there in Ezekiel's message, the king's been taken over, the princes, and he's led them with Babylon, and they would there be under tribute, and they would be under the yoke of the king of Babylon. So there was the taking away of the people prophesied in Ezekiel and given as a revelation to the Jews in Babylon that this was going to happen. And it happened. Now, we need then to come to Jeremiah chapter 27. And this is one of the cases where there is a very poor translation. There may have been some corruption in the text, but you go to any reliable translation and they correct verse 1, which says, In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim came the word of God to Jeremiah. Now, it should actually be in the beginning of the reign of Josiah's son, King Zedekiah of Judah. And that's obvious because when you get down to verse 4, it says, Which come under Jerusalem to Zedekiah, king of Judah. If it was in the reign of Jehoiakim, Zedekiah would not be a king. So it doesn't make any sense. So it should be in verse 1, Zedekiah, as the Net Bible has, and he was arranging meetings with surrounding nations and their kings to plot rebellion against Babylon. So just correcting Jeremiah 27, verse 1, this is a prophecy in chapter 27 that relates to this very time period, the early part of the reign of Zedekiah. Now, another proof that it's in the reign of Zedekiah, when we go to chapter 28, remembering there are no chapter divisions in the original Hebrew, it flows straight into chapter 28 and it says, The following events occurred in the same year, early in the reign of King Zedekiah of Judah, and it says it was in the fourth year. So in chapter 28, we have events happening in the same year as chapter 27. And again, it points out it's the fourth year of Zedekiah. And that, of course, was the battle between Hananiah and Jeremiah over the yokes of iron and the yokes of wood. So, again, there's plenty of proofs that Jeremiah 27 should read Zedekiah. So let's read it in that way and see what Jeremiah had to say to this king Zedekiah. The message is very clear. You need to surrender. So when you look at Jeremiah 27 and verse 6, it says this, And now I've given all these lands to the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant, and the beasts of the field have I given him also to serve him. All nations shall serve him. and his son and his son's son until the very time that his land come, and many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him. So the prophecy was very clear. Here was Zedekiah plotting to overthrow the yoke of Babylon. He was trying to muster other nations. You can see in verse 2, there was a number of nations he'd called to an assembly. The king of Edom, the king of Moab, the king of the Ammonites, the king of Tyre, the king of Zidon. It all come to talk to Zedekiah, and it was all about how can we get rid of the Babylonian yoke. And God is saying through the prophet in Jeremiah 27, that's not going to happen. So these kings are going to be disappointed. Zedekiah is going to be disappointed, but it's not going to happen because they will serve the king of Babylon for three generations. And that, of course, was the 70 years. And so in verse 12, Jeremiah, I spake to Zedekiah, king of Judah, according to all these words, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him and his people and live. Why will you die? So, you know, Jeremiah is appealing to the king, look, submit to the king of Babylon. Don't think you're going to get away with the rebellion. And in verse 14, don't hearken to the words of the prophets, you know, saying you shall not serve Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. So there were false prophets who were telling Zedekiah that they didn't have to serve Babylon. There was Hananiah saying that within 2 years the captivity would come back. All of these things were confusing the king Zedekiah. But Jeremiah was clear, you have to surrender. You have to work under the yoke of the king of Babylon. And the rest of chapter 27 is about how the false prophets were undermining that. And in verse 15, it says, I've not sent them, says Yahweh, they prophesy a lie in my name. And of course, we know that God put Hananiah to death in that same year. So Zedekiah had every reason to believe Jeremiah and not to believe these false prophets. But it was typical of Zedekiah that he was what the Bible calls a twilight prince, half in the light, half in the dark. And so he was confused by these false prophets. So here's what's going on in the fourth year of Zedekiah. Zedekiah begins to plot with Egypt to overcome Babylon. So he's making overtures to Egypt. Then when you go to Ezekiel 17, that's the second great eagle that's being appealed to come and help fight the eagle of Babylon. And he's plotting with Egypt to overcome Babylon. He wants to break his covenant to pay tribute to Babylon. He assembles the other nations in verse 1 to 3 to plot that rebellion. Hananiah says the captives are coming back within 2 years and he's killed by God. And then a delegation is sent to Babylon. And with that delegation, Jeremiah sends the message of ultimate doom for Babylon. So this all happens in the fourth year of Zedekiah. And you can imagine the delegation that was sent was probably trying to get some relief of the heavy burden of tribute. It may have been some sort of threat to the Babylonians, but whatever it was, it didn't work. So that's what's happening in the fourth year of Zedekiah. Well, one of Zedekiah's problems was he trusted in diviners. When you look at chapter 27 and verse 9, Jeremiah says, therefore, hearken not to your prophets, nor your diviners, or to your dreamers. And of course, what used to happen in the ancient world, going right down into Roman times, was that people would read the entrails of animals. And you can see some portrayals of this happening here, where a king would go down and people would take the entrails of an animal and they would then make prognostications based upon those entrails. And it was a form of divining, a form of prophecy. And here he's got the prophet Jeremiah, who's giving him the words of God, and he's still going to diviners. And this is typical of Zedekiah. He's always wanting to have it both ways. Well, he ends up being a covenant breaker, and this is the great sin of King Zedekiah. He broke his covenant with the king of Babylon. So he'd actually agreed that he would pay tribute, that he would serve the king of Babylon, but he broke that covenant. And then later on, in chapter 34, we're going to see that he broke his covenant with the servants that had not been released. And he made a covenant about that, and he broke that as well. But let's look at the first one in Ezekiel chapter 17. So in Ezekiel chapter 17, reading from verse 18 to 19, we read this, that God condemns him, reading from verse 17 of Ezekiel 17. Neither shall Pharaoh and his mighty army and his great company make for him in the war. So he was plotting with Egypt to come up and to drive the Babylonians away, and he would then break his covenant with Babylon and he would serve Egypt. Well, God says, no, the Egyptians might come, but they will not save him. And why? In verse 18, he despised the oath by breaking his covenant. When, lo, he had given his hand, and that all things, these things, he shall not escape. Now, already God's saying that he's going to try and escape when the day of judgment comes. And we'll talk about that more in a moment. But he broke his covenant. And again in verse 19, therefore thus said Adonai Yahweh, as I live, surely mine oath that he hath despised and my covenant he has broken, even will I recompense upon his own head. So he'd made these covenants in the name of God, and he was going to break them. So God says, I will give the men that have transgressed my covenant, which have not performed the words of the covenant which they made before me, when they cut the calf in twain and pass between the parts thereof. Now this is from Jeremiah 34. Just keep your hand in Ezekiel and let's go back to Jeremiah 34. Now this was in the ninth year of Zedekiah, when the Babylonians had the city under siege. And they came to Jeremiah and they said, why? What have we done wrong? So Jeremiah was informed by God that the reason that they were going through this siege was because they had broken God's covenant. And these words in Jeremiah 34, verse 17 to 21 are very clear. You know, you've not hearkened unto me in proclaiming liberty, every one to his brother. So they had not released their slaves in the year when they should have released them, at the seventh year or in the year of Jubilee. And God says, the liberty I'm going to give you is the sword and the pestilence and the famine, and you'll be removed out of this land. And it was because of the transgressing of the covenant which they had made before their God. And they'd actually done it by cutting a calf in twain like Abraham had done. So it was a very solemn covenant. But they broke it. The minute the Egyptians came towards Jerusalem there in the ninth year, the Babylonians retreated north, and everyone said, okay, well, the Babylonians have gone. We'll take our servants back and put them under servitude. And so they broke the covenant with their servants. And this is why God despised Zedekiah so much, is because he was a covenant breaker. So, you know, these are very good reasons why God would want to destroy this nation and this king, because they had broken the covenants made in the name of their God. So when we come now to look at the way that he's described in Ezekiel 12, we'll just go back to the book of Ezekiel in chapter 12, this commentary from Babylon, which is happening at the same time as we're talking about the book of Jeremiah, this commentary in Babylon actually talks about something that has to be done by the prophet Ezekiel. And it is one of the mimes or the acting that he has to do to get a message across to those in Babylon. And what he's doing is demonstrating the attempt of Zedekiah to escape from the Babylonians by making a secret path through the caves into the valley of Jordan and getting across to the land of Moab. And as the city was under siege, he had this escape plan. And Ezekiel is actually telling the Jews in Babylon that God knows about his plans. And what Ezekiel had to do was to dig a big hole under the wall of his house and then carry his furniture through that hole up into the street. And he had to do it at even or in the twilight. And it's exactly what he does in Ezekiel 12. He goes forth at even, all the nobles are watching. He does it in the twilight. He brings his furniture through this hole onto the street, and he does it in the twilight. And when we come down to verse 12 and 13, God explains through Ezekiel what this is indicating. And it's about the prince that is among them. So this is talking about Zedekiah back in Jerusalem. He's going to bear upon his shoulder, he's going to be carrying lots of stuff, and he's going to do it in the twilight and go forth and dig through the wall and carry out thereby. So this is a prediction of the escape attempt by King Zedekiah that would be made back in Jerusalem to get away from the Babylonians, and it would happen in the 11th year. So, you know, he's going to be captured. God says, I'll spread my net upon him, shall be taken in my stare. He will go to Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans, but he won't see it. So there's a prediction there about him going there blind. He would die there, but he would not see that land because he'd been blinded by the Babylonians. But you notice the divine appellation upon Zedekiah. He becomes the twilight prince. And that theme is carried forward into a number of places. And we'll see another one of those in a moment. So why was he a person that was a twilight prince? Well, one of his great problems was that he was very frightened of what people thought of him. Let's come back to Jeremiah 38. This is after the Ebed-Melech incident, when Jeremiah has been taken out of the pit. And he pleads with Zedekiah to surrender to the king of Babylon. But look what he says in Jeremiah 38, He says this, and Zedekiah the king said to Jeremiah, I am afraid of the Jews that have fallen to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hand and they mock me. And, you know, here's a man that's being told clearly what the word of God is saying, and all he can think about is going to be mocked by some of the captives. And that actually mars his judgment from doing the right thing. So he doesn't obey the words of Jeremiah and the words of God because of the pride that he had of being, he didn't want to be mocked. And Jeremiah had to say to him, you're going to be mocked by everybody, including your wives, because of your stupidity. But nevertheless, he stayed with his policy of not listening. So he's called in the Bible the Twilight Prince, and that was the appellation that God gave to him. So three times he sought Jeremiah's counsel. You can find this in chapter 37, verse 3, 37, verse 17, 38, verse 14. It's also there in chapter 27. The great thing about Zedekiah was he wanted to know what the word of God was saying. So he's saying to Jeremiah, look, you know, tell me what the word of God is. Is there any word message from God? Jeremiah said, yes, there is. You have to surrender. Oh. You see, he wouldn't do it. He just could not bring himself to do what Jeremiah was saying. He was afraid of being mocked. And he was afraid of the war cabinet. You know, there was a number of very powerful people in Jerusalem at this time who were arranging the defense of the city. And he was afraid of them. And on one occasion, he said to Jeremiah, look, come in and talk to me quietly in the corner. And don't tell anybody that I've been talking to you. So he's a very weak, vacillating person, is Zedekiah, which is why the Bible calls him the Twilight Prince. When they come back to that chapter in Jeremiah 21 that we pointed out was actually in relation to Zedekiah, chapter 21, see what God says in verse 12. This is one of the exhortations that come via Jeremiah. Verse 11, now touching the house of the king of Judah, say, hear the word of Yahweh. O house of David, thus says Yahweh, execute judgment in the morning. Now, what an odd phrase that is. I mean, judgment is whatever time of day you give it. But what God is saying to Zedekiah is, look, you've got to come out of the darkness. You've got to come out of the twilight of wanting to know what the word of God is, but not willing to do it. You've got to execute judgment in the morning. You've got to come into the light. And he goes on to say, execute judgment in the morning and deliver him that is spoiled out of the hand of the oppressor. And he was going to be given an opportunity, as we'll see in a couple of talks' time, to rescue Jeremiah from the hands of the war cabinet. But he doesn't do it. So he's a weak, vacillating individual. And he's going to receive the judgment of God very severely for his vacillation. So three times that king came to Zedekiah and would not do what he was told the word of God actually was. And here's just a couple of those instances for you in the text. Later, King Zedekiah sent for Jeremiah and received him in his palace, where he asked him privately, is there a word from Yahweh? There is, said Jeremiah. You will be delivered to the hand of the king of Babylon. He didn't want to hear that. Then King Zedekiah sent for the prophet and received him in a third entrance of the house of Yahweh. I'm going to ask you something, said the king to Jeremiah. Do not hide anything from me. So he was always making Jeremiah tell him what the word of God was, but he didn't like what came. He didn't get the answers he wanted, and so in the end, Jeremiah was persecuted and thrown into the dungeon because the king didn't like the things that he said. So here's a twilight prince in and out in the way that he receives the word of God. So eventually the end would come, and the end comes through the condemnation of Jeremiah. This is after the terrible time in the pit when Jeremiah has been rescued by Ebed-Melech. He comes to the king and he said, thus says Yahweh, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if you will assuredly go forth under the king of Babylon's princes, your soul shall live and this city shall not be burned with fire, and you shall live and your house. But if you will not go forth, the king of Babylon's princes, the city shall be given to the hand of the Chaldeans, they shall burn it with fire, and you will not escape out of their hand. And all the time, Zedekiah is thinking to himself, oh yeah, but you don't know about the secret plan that I have. You don't know about this plan that I have. And how crazy to think that you can hide something like that from God's prophet. Well, the final judgment comes in Ezekiel 21. And we often quote these words in our lectures about relating it to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will be the next king of the Jews. But look at the context. It's about Zedekiah. It's a judgment of King Zedekiah. Therefore, thus saith Adonai Yahweh, because you have made your iniquity be remembered, that your transgressions are discovered, so that in all your doings your sins do appear, because I say you are come to remembrance, and you shall be taken with the hand. And thou profane wicked prince of Israel, whose day is come when iniquity shall have an end. Thus saith Adonai Yahweh, remove the diadem, take off the crown. This shall not be the same. Exalt him that is low and abase him that is high. I will overturn. And it shall be no more until he come whose right it is, and I will give it to him. And we know, of course, the one whose right it is will be the Lord Jesus Christ. But following Zedekiah, there was to be these three overturnings. There was the overturning by the Babylonians. There was the overturning by the Greeks. Then there was the overturning of the kingdom of Israel by the Romans. Three incredibly dangerous and damaging invasions that would come to their land over time. And there would never be another king on the throne of Judah until Christ comes to be the king over all the world. But that prophecy that we use so often is actually a direct prophecy against King Zedekiah. He was to be removed. He was to be taken away. So here's Ezekiel having put the hole through the wall and brought his furniture out through that hole into the street. And so God knew his escape plan was to try and escape out of Jerusalem through a series of caves. So here's what it was said. The prince that is among them shall bear upon his shoulder in the twilight, shall go forth and dig through the wall to carry out thereby, and shall cover his face that he see not the ground with his eyes. So there was to be this nighttime breakout from the city of Jerusalem, which was under the siege of the Babylonians, down through the wall of the king's house, through a series of caves, into the valley of the Kidron, and then across to the land of Moab. And that was the plan of King Zedekiah. So you can go today and you can see that there is a network of caves that go from the city wall eastward and down to the valley of the Kidron. And this is now called Solomon's Quarry or Zedekiah's Cave. Much of the stone in Solomon's temple had been quarried here. And there is this tremendous underground limestone cave. And you can see there's a walkway from the edge of the city wall into this cave. And, of course, they had broken out of this cave into the valley of the Kidron. They, unfortunately, of course, were captured by the Babylonians. They didn't get away with it. But this was the attempt of Zedekiah to escape that was being portrayed by Ezekiel in Babylon. The point of the furniture was they would take too much stuff. You can go there today and you can see this thing called Zedekiah's Cave, which was the escape route that he intended to take. It's now a major tourist thing in Jerusalem to go into these caves. But this was the way he thought he would get out of the city. And again, it was a doomed attempt to flee. You notice here that everyone's carrying great big bundles of stuff. He took his whole bodyguard with him when they made the breakout. All the men of war went with him. The company was so large, they took so much stuff when they tried to get away that they were slowed down. And, of course, they were not allowed to escape as they thought they would. So the doomed attempt to flee was predicted in Ezekiel, enacted by Ezekiel, and, of course, Jeremiah had said, you will not escape. And he didn't escape. Well, we know what happened to King Zedekiah. He was taken up to Riblah, where Nebuchadnezzar had set up his throne, right up the north of the land. And there was the terrible judgment upon Zedekiah. His sons were taken and slain before his eyes, and then his eyes were burnt out. And you know, the very last thing he saw in this life was his sons being tortured and murdered by the Babylonians. This was the terrible fate of a king who knew better, a king who had been brought up by Josiah to have a respect for the word of God, who had actually been brought up very likely in Jeremiah's Sunday school class and youth group. He knew that the word of God was powerful. He just didn't have the courage to stand up and do it. And therefore he suffered this terrible punishment of having his sons killed by the king of Babylon. They then got a hot iron and burnt out his eyes, and the king of Babylon was furious with him for the covenant breaking he had tried to organize, and so he was grossly punished by the king Nebuchadnezzar. And here is the sad fate of the Twilight Prince, now spending the rest of his life in complete darkness. He would not execute judgment in the morning. He would not honor the covenants of his God. He therefore would spend the rest of his life grinding in the prison of Babylon until he died, and he would never see another thing after he saw his sons killed. And so he would go to Babylon. So here he is. He shall go to Babylon, the land of the Chaldeans. He shall not see it, though he shall die there. And you can only make that any sense of that when you see that, of course, he went there blind and in chains. And the Babylonians would drag him that 800 miles as a blind man, stumbling and falling, until he got to Babylon, where he would eventually die. And that's what happens to Twilight Princess. So there are many lessons we can take away from this Twilight Prince. We're going to see him in one of our later studies when it comes to Ebed-Melech, where he had the chance to deliver Jeremiah but failed to do so. So what are the lessons we take away from the Twilight Prince? Well, we cannot walk half in the light and half in the darkness. There are many people who want to know what the Word of God says, but when it comes to the requirements of the Word of God, they don't want to do it. So we must not only respect the Word, we must also humble ourselves to do it. And we must never allow any concern for our reputation to stop us doing right. And that was one of Zedekiah's problems. People will mock me if I do the right thing. Well, he made a big mistake. He thought he could outsmart God. He had that secret plan to escape, thinking God couldn't foil it. And God, of course, did completely overturn that plan and had him captured. And we must keep our covenant. So these are the words that we take from Psalm 15 about those who will share eternity with God, those that will be in Mount Zion. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbour, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbour, in whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honoureth them that fear Yahweh. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. When you think about Zedekiah, you know, he'd love to hear the word of God, but he would not do it. And when it came to the oath and the covenant that he'd made in the name of his God, he broke it on more than one occasion, and so he was punished. And we must keep our covenants. We must not only respect the word of God, we must also do our very best to perform it. And we shall not be like the Twilight Prince of Israel.